Good morning. Welcome to University Church. Whether you have come here as a custom, whether you've come here out of curiosity to see what's happening in this place, or whether there might be a crisis in your life for which you just need some support and help, please feel welcome. We have a lavender slip that you hopefully got with your bulletin, and I'd ask everybody just to grab that now and fill it out, whether you're a visitor or you've been here for 99 years. We'd like to know that you are here. We do especially welcome those of you who are here for a first or second time. It is good to see you again. We have an abbreviated order of worship in the sheet that you got when you came in. If you missed one of those bulletins, they're in the back or up here. And there'll be full information and the responsive readings on the slides on the screen up above. We have restrooms and childcare out this way. We'll be gathering in the gathering room after the worship service, and a reminder of our safe sanctuary policy, which means that children need to be accompanied throughout the building. There are many opportunities for service. Let me start with some good news. We've had a stewardship campaign. Those of you who've been here the last few Sundays have known. We so far have 9 new pledges, which I think is phenomenal. There are still about 35 folks who pledged last year who haven't had the opportunity to do that. So if you are one of those, we are looking forward to having your information. And in the pews, if you didn't remember to bring your pledge card, are the cards. And if you can drop those in the offering plate, that will help us, because we're looking at a little bit of a financial challenge for the next year, having lost our tenant. And so we need to know who can step up and help support all the wonderful mission and ministries of this congregation. You can always pay your pledge with a credit card on our website, or if you know what QR codes are, you can also donate anytime through that. We have a little business to do after worship, so we would ask you to stay, if you would, for the United Covenant Agreement. It's a nice way of saying we've got some bylaws that we need to pass for the 6 churches in the city working together, and that shouldn't take too long. And Joyce wants to say something about the Thanksgiving bags.
Good morning. Okay, as everyone knows that has been here for the last few weeks, next week after the service, anyone who is able can come downstairs and help pack our bags for Thanksgiving giveaway on Tuesday the 21st, so right after the service next week. You still can bring in turkeys. We desperately need turkeys, and you can put them in the cooler there today if you have them, or next week. They're on sale at Tops and Wegmans for 48 cents a pound with a $25 purchase, and I believe at Price Chopper for 57 cents a pound with a $25 purchase. Also, if anyone wants to bring in fresh produce, people love fresh produce. Winter squashes, collards are a big seller, Brussels sprouts and yams, things like that. If you could bring those in next week, if you have them, that would be wonderful and so appreciated. And those will be added to the beautiful cornucopia of produce that the Altar Guild usually produces up in the front and is gorgeous on Sunday morning, and then goes towards people who are getting the Thanksgiving bags. Anyone in the congregation who feels that they would benefit from a Thanksgiving bag, come see me after the service and I will get you signed up. All right? Thank you very much.
You got to just come next Sunday to see this logistical thing. There are piles of food downstairs, and we all whip around a table with little carts, and even the children can help, and in like 20 minutes, it's all packed in bags. It's like we had to do a time-lapse photography of that. It's really amazing, and the more hands, the faster it will go. So thanks to Joyce and her crew, who I don't understand how they do it all, but it works magically every year. Another fun thing, moving from outreach and service to discipleship and study, we're about to start a new study, November, I think it's 27th, it's in your bulletin, called Faithful, and it's about Joseph. You know, we don't always hear a lot about Joseph, so that should be interesting. There's a table out here where you can sign up. There are 4 different times of the week at various churches, so you don't have to come here. There's Wednesday at 6, Thursday at 1, Thursday at 6, and Friday at 12:30. And the various pastors will be leading that study from the Syracuse churches. And if you need a book, someone will be hopefully out at the table with books after the worship service for that. And with that, let us continue our worship with a special video.
Good morning, everyone. How are you? I'm Pastor Alicia Wood. I'm honored to say I'm the pastor here, and I would like to extend a warm welcome to all of you. I hope you can join us in the Advent study, and I'd like to introduce you to Lisa Wea here. She's going to help me, and we're going to turn this on so we hear you. Today, we celebrate the 26th annual national observance of Children's Sabbath Celebration, titled Moving Forward with Hope, Love and Justice for Every Child. We join with the faithful across our nation and with people of every religious tradition to work for a hopeful future in which no child suffers poverty. In our rich nation today, one out of every five children lives in poverty, and close to half of those live in extreme poverty. We are bombarded by so many images that we see pain, but do not touch it. We hear weeping, but do not comfort it. And we see thirst, but we do not satisfy it. On this Children's Sabbath weekend and throughout the year to come, people of faith are responding to the reality of poverty seen in the faces of children and families, drawing on the sacred texts, teachings, and traditions that call us to love and seek justice for children, and moving forward with hope to put faith into action. So, will you stand if you're able, and we're going to have our call to worship here. This is the day we gather to celebrate the sacredness of children. We come thanking God for children and longing to keep our young brothers and sisters safe. We rejoice together as children. Some of us are young, some of us are older, but we are children of God. Together we will learn from one another. Together we will praise God.
Jesus, thank you for the special invitation you gave children to come and spend time with you. Thank you also for the adults who spend time with us and care about us.
We see the strength and light within you. We hear you. Will children 18 and under speak with Lisa, please?
We love to spend time with you, Jesus, because you never tell us to shut up. You want us to know what we are thinking and how we feel. We know we can tell you anything about ourselves, and you will still love us, even when we do things that make you unhappy with us.
We see the strength and light in you. We hear you.
You don't think anything we say is silly. We can tell you that we are afraid of the dark, or that we want to be animal doctors when we grow up. You hear us when we say we don't want people to know that sometimes we wet the bed. You won't laugh or make fun of us or tattle to someone else.
We see the strength and light in you, and we hear you.
This day, Jesus, we pray that you would make grown-ups strong enough and their hearts big enough to look out for all children. We want grown-ups to like us for who we are and not who they want us to be. Help them see the great things you see in us. Let grown-ups learn from us as we learn from them.
We see the strength and light within you. We hear you. Amen.
Let us now greet one another, old friends and friends-to-be, by shaking hands or maybe with a fist bump or high five, saying good morning or peace be with you. I invite you to share the peace of Christ with your neighbors now.
I would like to welcome the children forward if they would like to come and talk with me, and they're comfortable. And as they do, let us sing them forward. So we're getting a little prep done here. We're getting all lined up because the children are going to sing for us in a minute. But I'm going to have a little talk with everybody beforehand. And I'm wondering, did you guys get, I'm not going to fall off the edge, I promise. So did you all get leaves when you came in? Did anyone not get a leaf? Okay. So I'm going to ask you guys a question, and then all of you can write on the leaf, but equally important, I'm going to ask the grown-ups out there to write on the leaves as well. Okay, so here's the first question. I'm going to ask, if anyone wants to share their answer now, that'd be great, and then we'll go from there. So I have a question. What is really great about being a child? What is really great about being a child, a young person? What is really great? What is it?
You can expand more.
You can expand more or experiment? Expand. You can expand more. Yes. What else is good? Yes.
Explore.
You can explore. Yes. What else is good about being a child?
You can play sports.
Yes, that's right.
You can get away with more things.
Oh, really? You can? What else is good about being a child?
Yes, you can praise God.
You can praise God, that's right.
You could buy your own stuff without your parents there.
Oh, you can, all right. You can buy your own stuff without your parents there.
You can... You're a child of God?
You are a child of God, yes.
You can do stuff unthinkable or gonna happen?
Yes. Okay, one more.
You can learn more things about God?
Yes, you can, absolutely. So I'm going to ask all of you out there and all of you up here to, before the end of worship, to write on your green leaf things that are great and need to stay the same about childhood or being a child, okay? So the children, I'm going to ask all of you at the closing hymn to collect the leaves, and we're going to have more instructions to come. All right, so I have another question. What? Do you want another leaf or a couple of leaves for him? You're good, okay. So on the colorful leaves, the ones that are like autumn-like, the yellow and the orange and the red, I'd like everyone to write something that could change. What needs to change for children? What needs to change? What can you imagine that would make childhood better if it changed?
If our parents had more time for us.
Yes. If your parents had more time for you, yes. What else? What else would be good if it changed to make childhood even better? Any other thoughts?
Have a girlfriend?
Oh, if you had a girlfriend. I don't know what to say to that, JJ. What else? Is there anything else we can imagine could change that would make childhood better?
Grown up.
What about grown up? What about grown up? Like children growing up?
Yeah.
Yep, like children growing up, yes. All right. So I'm going to also say, I'm going to put an answer in. I'd say that children are safe. Safe in everywhere they go. That's what I would like to see change. Okay. So again, everyone out there and everyone up here, you have leaves, and we're going to ask you to write on the ones that are autumn-like, what needs to change for children to make childhood even better. All right. So with that, I'm very excited because the children and the choir are going to sing together. And I'm going to put the microphone back so it's in place. All right, so I'm going to let Amy take it away. As they set up, I'm just going to say once you get your leaves written on, during the closing hymn, we're going to ask everyone to pass them toward the center aisles so that the children can collect them, okay? So know that that's coming during the closing hymn. I'm excited about what's to be.
There is a feeling that a young person can have, a feeling that makes life seem desolate, empty, and sometimes not even worth living. When it is not there, hope for the future, hope to be loved, hope to be heard. When children are without hope, they are robbed of one of the most defining parts of their childhood. We must never underestimate the power of giving hope to a child.
The whispers of my heart speak so softly. Are they really there if no one hears them? The voice is so small and so soft. Can you hear me? Give us hope and we'll show you the way.
Amen. Thank you, children, and thank you, senior choir. The children worked on that for several weeks, so thank you so much for your hard work, and thank you, Amy DeBurgess, for making it happen. So this morning, I would just like to mention that we did miss one of our saints last week during our All Saints celebration, so I want to lift that person up in prayer. Eulala and her mom, I'd like to lift up Eulala and her family in prayer because her mom died this year, and so I wanted to be sure to mention that today since we missed that last week. And then the other thing I'd like to mention before you and I start reading is one other thing. I'd like us all to be in prayer for the church that after we spoke together and worshiped together and remembered the saints together last week, someone went in and shot up a church again. And, you know, I wish that we were together that afternoon so that we could have grieved together in that. So I hope that each of us are praying individually and together for that church and that community. So every day. Okay, we're going to do something a little bit different, and you're going to help me, aren't you? Come on over. We'll stand over here. You can light, just get your candlestick lit, but don't light one of those yet, but you can get it, okay? We light this candle today for children killed by guns, violence, sickness, accidents, and poverty. We especially remember with sadness the children shot in places where they should have been safe. Make our schools, homes, churches, and the streets safe places for us to be. We also remember the unnamed children killed in war or left without parents because of wars. We light this candle for all children who suffer. We light this candle today for all the adults who work for laws to make guns hard to buy. We light it for adults who make their homes happy homes for children not related to them. We light this candle for adults who care for us, teach us, and protect us. Their actions speak louder than their words, and we thank God for them. Just as Jesus did, let us invite the children to come to us. Give us the care and courage to bless them by our words and by our actions. Amen.
Let us join together in a time of prayer as we pray silently, followed by a short spoken prayer, and then the Lord's Prayer in whatever way or language that you feel closest to God. Today I'll be sharing a prayer by Walter Brueggemann entitled Children on Mother's Day. We are children today of many mothers, some of us grateful and glad, some of us cynical and defeated, all of us living lives that are a pure gift from you and for you. As we give thanks for our mothers, so we think of children whom you treasure and invite close in, for newborn babies arriving in these restless days, for children loved and lost a while, Joshua, Charles, Michael, Sophie, and a world of others, for children born feeble and troubled and loved in their need, for children infused with napalm and shrapnel and hate and fire, for children who know the sharp edge of Pharaoh and Herod and a thousand other uneasy men of force. In the midst of this parade of innocence, we submit all the treasured children of the world to you, that they may prosper and that we may become more fully your daughters and sons, children of your commandments, recipients of your gifts, bearers of your hope. You have said, let the little children come. Here we are, yours, that we may receive your nature and your discipline. Amen. Now please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Creator God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our scriptures this morning include observations attributed in the Judeo-Christian tradition to King Solomon from the book of Proverbs within the Bible's wisdom literature and a recounting of Jesus welcoming children in the Gospel of Mark. Both readings are from the Common English Bible. First, from the 20th chapter of Proverbs, verses 6 through 7. Many people will say that they are loyal, but who can find a reliable person? The righteous live with integrity. Happy are their children who come after them. And from the Gospel of Mark, the familiar story of Jesus welcoming the children that his followers try to shoo away. I'm reading from chapter 10, verses 13 to 16. People were bringing children to Jesus so that he would bless them, but the disciples scolded them. When Jesus saw this, he grew angry and said to them, "Allow the children to come to me. Don't forbid them, because God's kingdom belongs to the people like these children. I assure you that whoever doesn't welcome God's kingdom like a child will never enter it." Then he hugged the children and blessed them. This is the word and wisdom of God for the people of God.
Thank you for your wonderful reading. You did such a great job. And the prayer. Was that Walter Brueggemann?
Oh,
amazing. So I just want to start with a prayer of my own. If you'll pray with me. Creator God, as your children, we welcome each other and ask for your presence. Be here with us. Let the children come in our minds and hearts, and bless us all. Amen. Well, we're sharing today about kids, naturally resilient and strong, with the title that Pastor Alicia mentioned, Moving Forward with Hope, Love and Justice for Every Child. I want to also say that, have you ever heard of this thing of kids being in the way? Kids aren't in the way. Kids are the way. All right? Can you say that with me? Kids aren't in the way. Kids are the way. Thank you. So we're going to start with the justice part. Here are the rights of the child listed in the United Nations Convention of the Rights of the Child. Has anybody ever heard of that before? It was written and ratified in 1989 by all but three countries in the world. And the other two countries that didn't ratify it are Somalia and South Sudan. Bill Clinton signed it in 1995, but the U.S. Senate never ratified it. What's wrong with this picture? And, you know, you can see maybe some of the rights on there, like the right to medical care, the right to health, love, peace, to be brought up in a spirit of peace. These are things that the Children's Defense Fund has been promoting for a long time. They were promoting this convention for a long time, and some very mean-spirited senators blocked it, filibustered it. So we still need to do this. This is one of the many things we need to do for kids. And I'm looking at what it will take for every child to have all these rights in real life. And this is the logo of the Children's Defense Fund. It's been around for a long time. Marion Wright Edelman is the leader of the Children's Defense Fund. And I just love to look at this. You can see the little kid in the boat. And, you know, the kid is trying to get across this huge, huge ocean to develop normally, to get to their real grown-up self. And we need to all be there to support these kids. But I want to start with gratitude. This Children's Sabbath, I invite you to think about the resources and strengths that we appreciate for kids. You may have already put some on your green leaf, and I appreciate that. But first, I always want to say we're living on the ancestral lands of the Haudenosaunee. And I don't just say that just to say it, because the Haudenosaunee do two things that are really important. One is they start every deliberation with gratitude. They give thanks for the water. They give thanks for the air. They give thanks to the Creator for earth and all the other beings, and that every being has its purpose. They understand that. And then they consider the needs. This is the other thing they do, is they consider the needs of the next seven generations of children in every decision they make. Can you imagine that? That is something. Now, another thing to be grateful for is Armistice Day, which was yesterday, 99 years ago yesterday, at the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, the war to end all wars was ended. We're grateful for that, even though a lot of other wars happened after that, because we can still celebrate that as a peace day, even though industries that had grown rich with supplying the armaments and weapons, and even though there was pressure to make profits that promoted subsequent wars. We mourn the losses of all the veterans and service people, and we want to honor everyone who served with adequate compensation and health care. By the way, my mom told me a story about Armistice Day. You want to know? She would be 103 today, but 99 years ago, she was 4 years old, and she remembered this. When she was 4 years old, her family lived in a small town in New England, and people were ready for peace to happen. They were tired of that war. And the moment people heard the news that peace had come, everybody ran out of their house with a pot or a pan and banged it really hard and made a joyful noise in the town square. And then they didn't only do that. They had a pageant. They had planned a beautiful play to commemorate peace. And my grandmother, my mother's mother, was the spirit of peace. She wore a big, long white robe, and she was the spirit of peace, and my mother was one of the starving Armenian children. But that stayed with her. That whole memory stayed with her, and she told it when she was very old. So these things, you know, when we do things that make for peace, they last a long time. People remember, kids remember how you made them feel, right? They may not remember all the things you said to them. They may not remember all the things you did, but they remember how you made them feel. We also thank God, while we're still on gratitude, for all the many social movements for peace and justice in Central New York, the historical legacies of abolitionists, suffragists, freedom riders, war resistors, feminists, and all the current activist groups, because they're helping keep us honest. They're helping keep us moving forward in love and justice for every child. And of course, many people might not know, this whole church here has a history of caring for children, seen in the building of the education wing. When that cornerstone was laid, that was a real commitment to children. And in the ongoing dedication of the teachers, like, and Jeannie's organization of the education, Christian education here, it's amazing. And all the counselors and medical and human service professionals in this congregation, you're carrying it forward. So again, if you haven't already written something on your green leaf, write down a word or two of gratitude about what's good about the lives of kids and their well-being and what that means to you. So just to back up for a second, about a month ago, Pastor Alicia and I talked a little bit about children's needs and shared the facts about poverty in Syracuse. You know, when it says 1 out of 5 children are poor in this country, in Syracuse, it's doubled that. 2 out of 5 kids. And this isn't new. It's been going on for about 40 years. But it's getting worse. Everywhere else in the country, child poverty is getting a little bit better. In Syracuse, it's still getting worse. So this is something that we got burned up about that, right, Pastor? We got outraged about that. And then 5 days later, after we talked about Children's Sabbath, then we went to Binghamton with a bunch of people from Syracuse and elsewhere for this mass meeting of the Poverty Initiative. And we heard Reverend William Barber. He's amazing. You're going to hear more from him. He's just an amazing preacher, and he preaches on the moral agenda to end poverty. So then after we came back, we got together with Barb Nunn and Kirsten McGowan and Jane Humbert and Worship Committee and Church and Society, and all of this planning got started together. I just want to tell you, this worship service, I did not write a word of this worship service. This was the worship committee and Pastor Alicia and Ted, and I want you to give them a hand. Because This service, when I saw the bulletin this morning on my computer, I cried. This is so beautiful. And so this talk that I'm giving comes out of the discussions and reflections that we had, but I didn't write this service. We're gathering the information from the leaves, by the way, to help plan some more actions for the future. Again, gratitude for this great liturgy. So I also want to move forward with, you know, we celebrate children. We celebrate parents. Parents are the real experts on children, right? Parents, foster parents, adoptive parents, and relative caregivers. And as the scripture says, they're the glory of children. And of course, we celebrate grandchildren. That's one I know. That was two Thanksgivings ago. He's now 2.5. And at the same time, we have to shift gears here a little bit and lament some of the many threats to children's safety. These are things that should not be. We see daily evidence of increasing militarism based on the mistaken idea that more and heavier weapons bring security. With another massacre in a church in Texas, Pastor Alicia writes in her blog, "I just can't accept that this is the new normal. I cannot accept that this is the best we can do." At this point, you can see guns end the lives of 7 children and teens every day in America. Every day. And by the way, the FBI, I got this in the Jim Wallace book. The FBI defines terrorism this way. Terrorism is intimidation by threats of violence. That's happening all over the place. That's happening when kids get killed. That's happening when there are massacres in churches. This power over domination with weapons, this domination by force, is based on trauma. It's based on people's early hurts. The people who do these atrocities were very badly hurt as children themselves. It doesn't always make it that happen. Sometimes people can heal from early hurts. But this force, whether it was used by that gunman or by a SWAT team in Ferguson, or whether it was tweeted as a threat by the President of the United States, that was trauma, and it's passed along. It's being passed on unhealed. Unhealed traumatic stress. And that is not good. That is how people don't get to be in the kingdom of God, when they have unhealed traumatic stress. Then the other thing is, when we accept the idea that weapons bring security, that only weapons bring security, it's kind of like we're worshiping a false god. We then erode the very relationships that protect kids and families if we give it over to weapons. And if it's not healed, that traumatic stress keeps on spreading through the community and onto future generations. It goes through sexism and, you know, all kinds of oppression, and it lands harder on the kids than on anybody else. That's my outrage right there. It doesn't have to happen. We can't let it keep happening, that this oppression by force keeps landing on the kids. Because it keeps happening in so many levels, systemically. Right now, our federal government, our Congress, is considering a budget. Still thinking about the taxes, the budget, and all those things. And already the federal budget has shifted our priorities such that it takes our tax dollars away from programs that support people in need, programs that support jobs and health care. It's taking it away and giving it to the super rich and to the military contractors, to that war racket that's been going on for 100 years. The result is economic injustice, more racism, sexism, militarism, terrorism, environmental destruction, and, not for nothing, child poverty. The poverty rates in Syracuse, as I said, are twice the national average, 40%. And that's not acceptable. And it's partly because we're letting our federal government get away with robbery. These systemic issues get passed along to kids in adverse childhood experiences. And until we end child poverty, that's going to keep happening. These adverse childhood experiences were studied out in California in an HMO, a health maintenance organization with 17,000 middle-class people. They filled out a questionnaire to say how many different things happened to them as a child that were adverse experiences, like, you know, having an alcoholic parent or having been abused or neglected or having, you know, it made some, had some kind of terrible thing happen to them as a child. And the results of this showed that when people grow up with these adverse experiences, depending on the number of them, it actually adds to their toxic stress. Adverse childhood experiences, are a measure of toxic stress, which is related, just kind of like toxic chemicals or toxic radiation would be related to negative health outcomes. So somebody who has 4 or 5 of these ACEs has significantly higher rates of heart disease, diabetes, lung problems, hepatitis, depression, all these different things. And it's not just directly because, you know, it's not contagious that way, but the stress is what gets people sick. And people who have higher rates of ACEs don't live as long as the rest of the group. So people on the other side of it, people can recover. We can support kids and families in healing from these things. And the other good news about kids is their brains are still growing. Kids' brains are still developing, and they can heal from this kind of stuff. Even though there's been stress in your past, you can heal from it. And some of that is happening right here in church. So I want to bring you that good news. And there's actually a video that comes in here. If you can turn on the video on resilience, we're going to take 2 minutes and watch it. Watch it. Back one. Now go on. Okay. Thank you.
We all like to think of childhood as this time of joy and innocence. But, I mean, for many of us, it's just not true.
When you grow up in these type of situations, it's not something you talk about. I know I did it.
The first thing that we found is that adverse childhood experiences are common.
They don't know what's going on. They won't remember anyway. Well, the child may not remember, but the body remembers.
There was this incredible gee whiz effect. You mean adverse childhood experiences cause heart disease and lung disease and liver and cancer?
Exposure to trauma affects children's developing brains.
The impact is on your behavior. It's on your heart.
It's on your DNA. Like, how do you deal with all that?
I don't reach out because I'm not used to that.
We have a whole new body of knowledge now that could open up what we have up till now been seen as intractable, unsolvable problems.
No child should be punched or kicked.
If you can get the science into the hands of the general population, they will invent very wise actions.
Do you feel like any of the interventions have been making a difference?
They've made all the difference in the world.
It's there, it's possible, and a defeatist attitude is completely disconnected from what 21st century science is telling us, and we should be going after that like a bear.
So thanks for taking a minute to watch that. That was the trailer from the movie Resilience, and it was put on last week by the Parent University from Syracuse University, and a lot of people saw it downtown. There's more. There's a lot more that we can learn about this stuff because, as he said, the body remembers, but the science is there to show that we can do something about it. And Like, don't you love it when he says, we should be going after that like a bear? What we can do is make our community more resilient and to actually prevent mental illness and substance dependence and violence and all those negative outcomes. Now we have neurobiology showing how that healing happens and showing the skills that actually help. We can learn skills to help each other to come back to calm and peace in our own body. And, you know, when you're praying in church or when you're singing music and you know you have that sensation of just being very calm and comfortable and enjoying the presence of God, you know, when you have that, you can remember that. Your body remembers that too. It isn't just that your body remembers all the bad things. Your body remembers all the good things. So what we're going to do as a community, again, if you haven't already, you can take those multicolored leaves and write what you think needs to happen for kids, and we can make that happen coming out of that prayerful reality of peace in our own selves. Jesus told his disciples, let the little children come to me and do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. And I have to tell you, as a social worker, I've been working with children and families for about 28 years. And I'm sometimes seeing that the systems, the child-serving systems that are supposed to help kids, sometimes they get in the way. We need to let the children come. We need to bring them and their essential strengths and resources together with people who can really support. People like a lot of you in this room can do a lot to help kids heal. One 9-year-old girl once told me, when my body is calm, I can make good choices. You know, that's a mantra for me. I tell that to every family when I first see them. Because if you can figure out what it is that helps your body be calm, then you can think, then you can function, then you can do everything better. The solutions are not all new. These are not all new things, but we can use them. We can simply have a good person to count on, like a big brother or big sister for a kid, or an uncle or an aunt or a grandparent. Safe space, things to do that bring peace and calm inside. And we all need these kinds of resources. We can pass them along to our children at home and at school and wherever. And, you know, like I said, meditating, grounding, all these different things that we do to help ourselves come back to peace are important resources to remember. Finally, I want to quote Pastor Alicia again because she said in her recent blog, God created us for action and love in these trying times. And, you know, instead of fight or flight, you know, that's the natural stress response that we have when something really bothers us, fight or flight. Instead of fight or flight, one of the things that we can do is we can use something called tend and befriend. Anybody ever heard of tend and befriend? Tend and befriend is another one of those natural responses to stress. And we saw it after Hurricane Harvey and Hurricane Sandy. Remember seeing those pictures of the old Bubba guys with their pickup trucks with the boat on the back, and they were going out to save people? That was tend and befriend. And it's tend and befriend when people give away food or give away, you know, share a generator or something terrible is happening and everybody's helping strangers. That's tend and befriend. And that's actually how we can overcome the artificial divisions of class and race and how we can overcome some of this domination by force, that the militarism that I was talking about in the war economy. But you know what? Tend and befriend is also what we do right here at University Church when we share breakfast, when we share a Thanksgiving meal, when we not only do charity, but when we connect with people, food, haircuts, dialogue, childcare, and learning together as a community. The very next thing I think is going to be welcoming the Holy Child, and we can do that together in the same way. Our children, our future, deserve the best collaborative efforts we can make at justice and love in a community dedicated to ending poverty and violence. May it be so. Amen.
As we enter into a time of giving, I'd like to remind everyone to please place your attendance slips that look like this into the plate as our ushers come down the aisle. I'd like our first-time visitors of the church to know that we do not expect a donation from you today. You are our guest. We are grateful that you're here. Yet we do have a strong tradition of giving here at University Church, so as a symbol of our ministry in this place and beyond, let us bring our tithes, donations, and offerings. If you haven't turned in your pledge card yet, please put it in the offering plate, and if you need a card, there are extra ones at the ends of the pews. On this Children's Sabbath Day, we give you thanks, O God, especially for children, for the blessing they are and the blessing we may be to them. Give us the insight and courage to heed your prophets and to beat our swords into plowshares, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with you all our days. Please remain standing and join me in reading a prayer by Marion Wright Edelman's poem, Help Us Recover Our Hope, as our prayer of dedication. O God, help us to recover our hope for our children's sake. Help us to recover our courage for our children's sake. Help us to recover our discipline for our children's sake. Help us to recover our value together for our children's sake. Help us to recover our values for our children's sake. Help us to recover a spirit of sacrifice for our children's sake. Help us to recover our faith in you for our children's sake. We've spent our time together this morning thinking about, caring about, and committing to the rights of children. This cannot simply be a mental exercise. It's something to do as well as to believe. Please pass your leaves towards the center aisles so that the children can collect the leaves as we sing. Please remain standing and join me in singing our final hymn, Whatever You Do, displayed on the screen. We will be singing it to the tune of the familiar hymn, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise.
Our children have collected our leaves, and they're placing them under our umbrella so that this week and next week you can read what the community has said is wonderful about being a child and things that we might change. Go forth to hear the voices of children made in God's own image. Go forth to bear the love of Christ who sided with the poor. Go forth to seek justice as the Spirit moves in and through you. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you and each child of God now and forevermore. Amen.